Today we are literally wrapping up 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm amazed at where God has brought us and how he is showing us that in the midst of all the things that are going on, we need to understand that we have a living hope that goes beyond anything this earth offers. Amen. That we are living stones who are being built up into a foundation which can never be shaken. That no matter what happens in life, no matter which direction things seem to go, if we are in the eternal now, we cannot be shaken. For only the things of the world will be shaken. So we need to come out from amongst them in such a manner as to emulate Christ, to give the hope and the glory to God, that no matter what happens to us, the things that happen in our lives are to show others that we have a hope that goes beyond this world and the circumstances thereof, that we may live in the strength and power of what we know and who we know. So today, I'd like you to pick up your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we are going to end this sermon series today. But it's not just an end. It is a culmination, which literally takes us all the way back to the very beginning. I've entitled this sermon, "May We Be Found in the Unity of the Church," because it is from this reality, from this thought, that I want to show you, to bring us to this place of understanding that the Church of Jesus Christ is where we belong. We are kingdom livers in another world. And the only way we're going to survive and thrive in this world is if we are united to the church. And when I say that, I'm not talking a particular church. I'm not talking a building. I am talking about the body of Jesus Christ, the gathering, the ecclesia, those who come together in the name of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now, a building will not save you, okay? A denomination will not save you. A religion will not save you. Only a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will. And that's where we have to walk. And today, God wants us to understand you're not to walk there alone. He has a way for us to walk as children of faith, that we are built up in our faith. These living stones coming together, forming something even greater that cannot be shaken because of what we believe and what we hold, and we can hold each other up. When your faith is weak, mine will be strong enough with the couples together with all the others to keep you from going under. And when I'm weak, you will keep me from going under. Together, we are the body of Christ, and he is our head. Amen. So let us look to the Word of God, knowing and understanding that hard things are going to come. Surprising things are going to test us. But we are not to be shocked by these things. We are not to be threatened by them. But we are to hold fast to Jesus Christ. And as we do, we can then therefore become the church and do the things that he has exhorted us. For he tells us from chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, knowing all these things that you've been preached to for the last several weeks," through the book of 1 Peter, "therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." When we look at what is being spoken there, there is an outline of the church hierarchy that all of us are supposed to bring ourselves under. God appoints elders, okay? That's why we don't have yearly elections at our congregational meetings. We don't elect elders every year or deacons every year. We scour our church and we see the hand of God moving through the church and raising men and women up, because God is the one who exalts a person. Amen? And as we see those peoples being raised up and we apportion from the Word of God their giftedness, we bring elders into the congregation through your approval, because you have to see that they are there as well, called of God to be men and women of faith. Amen? And as we see that, we set them apart. That's called ordination. Okay? We ordain them to the office of elder. And we are not to use our power over the church, because it's a privilege of the church from God to be examples to each of you, to help and assist you in your way of life. That we are no better than you are. Okay? Pastor David, you've all heard him say it, you know, he gets up in the morning and he does a double somersault out into his pants, which are standing there, and right into his shoes. We all get out of bed that way, right? Each and every one of us. No. The older I get, the slower that stuff happens. There aren't no double flips, but in my mind. But as we see ourselves growing and maturing more and more, we also understand more and more the responsibilities that we have one to another. Amen? That we are here not only for ourselves, but to instruct and to walk alongside. And I'm going to tell you, when I was a young man, I didn't need anybody telling me what to do. I had all the answers. Nobody here can, you know, I'm the only person that's ever done that, right? But God gives us people who are a little bit more mature. Not that they would, as the scripture says, not that they would lord it over, but that voluntarily they would be there as an example for the rest of us. An example of love and of mercy and of grace and of compassion. And yes, there are times when they need to be examples of rebuke as well. And we have as elders in our church. We need to remember God has set this hierarchy for a reason, because God wants us to understand what we have and what he's given us. And it's amazing to me, because the first three verses there deal with the elders, because the elders need to understand what has been entrusted to you is so important, because God knows the hearts of men. They are what? Evil from birth. All right? So God warns us elders, we have to watch what we're doing, because God is watching us and we will be judged. But then he gives one verse to the congregation. Look what Peter says to the church. And he says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." We need to understand that the church is not meant to be a place of pride, of arrogance, and of power struggle like the rest of the world. We are to be a place of submitting ourselves to the headship of whom? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For he is the head, not our elders. He is the head. And if your elders are not submitting themselves to the head, who is Jesus Christ, we have a problem with elders, don't we? And it's so amazing, because this all comes to the place of understanding that you and I need to recognize God has a way here that he wants us to act, because he's building the body up to something that none of us can attain on our own. No one. What is that? What is being spoken of here? Because, you know, an elder who does what he's supposed to is going to receive the unfading crown of glory. All right? That's a portion of the Shekinah glory of God. Do you understand that? That is a light. You know, we light these candles because light has a very real reality in the spirit world. Remember, light casteth out darkness. What is darkness? Sin, arrogance, pride, all these things. So the glory that we, the elders, are going to have is going to be a portion of the Lord. But I want you to understand something too. Each and every one of us has a light in us that we are going to shine. What is that light? Where does it come from? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin in the 11th verse, and I'm going to read through verse 16. Beginning in the 11th verse, and I'm going to read through 16. From the 11th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, God gives us these words. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the whole body being fitted together and held together, by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Folks, that's talking about us. That is us, the body of Christ. Each and every one of us comes with gifts, and together we are joined together. That's why back here in 1 Peter, it tells us that we are to humble ourselves. We are to act humbly towards one another because the gifts that you have are the gifts that I need to complete me. In our world, we are told by the world that I am all important. I, me. What I think, what I feel. But in the body of Christ, what matters is others and what they bring to the table, what they add to me, because the value that God has placed in them adds value to me. And together, we become the body of Christ, being built up to the full measure which is in Christ Jesus, because none of us is Jesus, okay? I tell people, you know, can I see your hands and feet inside, right? Because we're looking for the nail marks. Well, I got one. Okay? I got one of the stigmata. I don't have all of them. And that didn't come from a nail. That came from a soda pop bottle. But in us, each and every one of us, carries a portion of the Spirit of Christ, that which He has apportioned to us, not for our own selfish ambitions, but to be given away, a light that shines out into a darkness to illuminate you, and your light to illuminate me, to cast the darkness out of me. Okay, do you understand how this works? And together we create a fullness that will light a room. And if we get enough people here, you know, how great is our God? What do you think it's going to be like when we're all in glory and we hear that song going up before the Father in every tribe, every tongue, every language? Can you imagine the light that is going to be shining? The glory of God that is going to illumine our world? Remember, the sun will be no more, the moon will be no more, for He will be the light of the world, and there won't be a dark side. Complete and total illumination. And that illumination will be the love of God shining out, bringing us all to the fullness of the maturity of He who is. Can you imagine the love that we are going to know when we are in heaven? In fact, the Scripture tells us that, you know, one moment in glory, if you read it, one moment in glory outweighs a lifetime of trouble. Because one moment in glory, how long does a moment last, Rut, in glory? Exactly. It's eternal. One moment outweighs, however long you've lived, outweighs all the troubles you've ever seen. Because that one moment of receiving the full, unadulterated love of God will wash away everything else. For our God is a consuming fire, and that light will cast out all the darkness of your life, all the hurt, all the pain, all the suffering, everything you've known. But it will leave you with the one thing that all of us need. What every soul longs for, and they try to fill it with drugs and pornography and money and houses and cars and jobs and people. You know, I laugh. How many of you have a Facebook page that has 500 plus friends? The reality is, you don't know any of them. And they really don't know you. Because there's no personal interaction. All there is make-believe. It's cyber. It's all in your head. Because we can fool some, but there's one that we cannot fool. He knows us through and through. He knows us to the core. And yet, in spite of all that we are, He loves you. Right where you are, right where you are, right where you are. And I don't know where you are, but you're not here. But I pray you're here and here together with us. That together we become the church of Jesus Christ. Shining that light, attaining to the full measure of the goodness that is Him. Because it's in that unity that you and I find the hope and the faith and the strength that we need to make it every day. No man is an island. We are all meant to go through this together. God said, first comment God made about man was what? It is not good for man to be alone. From the very first, God knew that. So He created woman. Because from her, all mankind would come. And it's funny, because do you understand that equation? That equation is so much more than any of us can realize. Because it answers all the other questions. All the other questions about everything that we all want or desire is answered from the reality that God says it's not good for man to be alone, so He made another woman. He made another being. From the first one, He didn't start over again. From that first one, which was already lacking, He made another. So now there's two that are lacking. So what really was missing from the equation? It's the same thing that's been missing since the creation. It's called a relationship. You see, God gave man woman that He could create others, so therefore we would have all the gifts and everything that we need to become one. But we are not to become one in and of ourselves. What did we just read? We are to become one in Christ, in our Creator. For you see, the thing that was missing wasn't woman, wasn't other men. What was missing from us was the fact that we need a relationship with God, a real relationship that we can all share. And one person can't share a whole lot, can they? But you get two, and then three, and then four, and then five, and then six, and it just adds and adds and adds. And if you think about it throughout eternity, throughout time past, man has multiplied many times over to the point that there are over 8 billion people on this planet living today. How many people have existed since the beginning of time? Yeah, I like Brother Wendell's response on that. How can we know? Because we have no idea what it was like in the day of Noah when the world was filled and then it was flooded. We have no idea how many people there actually were on this planet until God started it over again, and then we have recorded history from there on out. Because prior to that, there was nothing recorded. Very little recorded. But we now know that in just these few years that we've been here since recorded history, But that number is almost immeasurable. And yet, have we found what we need? Have we found that which satisfies? Have we found that which gives us the strength to stand as one in unity? Yeah, we have. He came. It's why these candles are lit. And his name is Jesus Christ. And when we, the church, can get that light out there, illuminate our world, illuminate one another, and cast that darkness out, we will attain to the maturity. But guess what fights against us every step of the way? Guess what keeps coming at us no matter how hard we try? Do you think Peter might tell us? Do you think Peter might tell us what's pulling us apart? Well, before he tells us what's pulling us apart, he reminds us of something else too. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Verse 6. We're going to read 6 through 9. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Brothers and sisters, you and I are being taken back to the very beginning of this discourse. We're being taken back all the way to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. And 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance in which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You and I, in Christ Jesus, have a secure hope, that living hope that each and every one of us falls back upon. But we need the church to help us stay strong in our moments of weakness. And we need to remind one another of the hope that you have, that each and every one of us has, as we are looking at cancer, as we are looking at infant deaths, as we are looking at whatever the world has to throw at you. That roaring lion is going to try to separate us one at a time until he can pick us off. And it is only as we stand together, united in the church of Jesus Christ, not the church of Latter-day Saints, not the church of the heart of Christ, not the church of, and you can plug in whatever name or denomination you want, but the church of Jesus Christ, those who believe and receive the word as the truth of God, for he is God. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. For we stand and fall by the word of God. And you and I have been given this word that says we have an eternal source. We have a hope that goes beyond anything you and I can imagine or dream. But we have to come together, and the world wants to pick us off, wants to pull us apart. I want you to think about what is happening in the world right now. And yes, I'm going to use this. We've all been told the Supreme Court of the United States will not look into the election. Isn't that what was just decided here over the weekend during the last part of the week while I was away? Yeah. Cowards. Cowards. Because they don't want to be shown for what they really are. All of them. Our legislature is defunct. Our judicial system has now proven itself to be defunct. The last hope for the Constitution in the United States of America is the president himself. There's three branches, Any one of them can take full authority during certain circumstances and times. This is one of them. Do you think any of the three are going to act? Please remember, our government was formed in the image of God. That's why there's three different branches, just there as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because the three standing in unity are a cord not easily broken. Our administrative, legislative, and judicial branches are showing themselves to truly becoming the God of the world, part of little g, God. You see, I'm not a citizen of the United States first. I am a citizen of heaven, the kingdom of God, of Christ. Jesus said it to Pontius Pilate. Yes, I am a king, but not of this world. You see, he understood. Pontius Pilate was trying to see if he was trying to come against Rome. And Jesus didn't come against Rome. He had no reason to come against Rome. Why not? He's the king of eternity. You know, he should be able to exert his authority. Well, one who's truly in authority doesn't have to exert anything if they are truly in authority. And Jesus said, yeah, you don't understand. My kingdom is not of this place. But what Pilate didn't understand was that the kingdom of Jesus rules this place. For nothing happens here that doesn't get us to the end. You see, we've read the book, and we know who wins. We understand that we belong to the kingdom of eternity, the kingdom to which everyone and everything is going to answer. But the lion is roaring in each and every one of our ears and wants us to step away from our religious convictions, to step away from our faith, and begin to act as people in the world. And I'll not do it. I made up my mind over the weekend. And many of you are going to condemn your pastor for saying this, but I'm saying this right on the internet. I'm saying this to each and every one of you as live as I can be. From this day forward, knowing now that the only person that I can trust to be a constitutional American is myself, I will not vote in this nation ever again, for it is no longer my nation. My nation is the kingdom of Christ, and I will work expediently to bring about his kingdom and all things there concerned. For the kingdoms of this world mean nothing to me anymore. No longer. In going through 1 Peter, what he has shown me is that I have been trying to operate with one foot in this kingdom and one foot in this kingdom. And I can't do that because there I'm the church of Laodicea. I am neither hot nor cold. I need to remember that I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. What does that mean? That means whatever this world wants to throw at us, we're going to deal with it. We're going to get through it. Because Jesus Christ has won the victory. Can I get an amen? No matter what, we the church have to remember, we are ambassadors of Christ. This is our sanctuary. What is sanctuary? Even our Constitution says there's a separation here that, you know, this is our Constitution telling us in the First Amendment that we are not to be judged by the country, but yet we're going to be. We're going to be put down. We're going to be told that we're hate mongers. Your pastor's probably going to be arrested within the next 4 years. And that's fine. I'll just start a prison ministry. And somebody else will be up here. One of my elders, right? And we'll continue down the road until that great and fateful day. Because the lion is going to keep on roaring. This devil is going to keep on roaring. He is going to try and trip us up. He's going to try and take us out one at a time. That's what he does. He brings trouble into our lives. He brings calamity into our lives. He brings suffering and pain into our lives. But may God use it to bring glory to his name. May each and every one of us understand that as we stand together, no matter where you are, whether it's here in this church or in prison because of this church, and your belief that Jesus is the Christ, we already have the victory. And yet we must continue on. Why must we continue on? Pastor, what is so important that I have to give up on the things of this world? You know, I am so amazed. I just spoke with Christians over the weekend and they said, but my children are so young and I want them to enjoy life. What do you think eternity is going to be? I have a nine pound. I have a 1 month old granddaughter. I would love to see her grow up and get married and have grandkids of her own. But the reality is, I would much rather have her have eternity now. Because then she doesn't have to go through this hell that we know is life. And we have to start getting our priorities right. Are we going to walk as Peter has instructed us to walk, realizing that no matter what, you're going to have struggles all your life, but your living hope is far greater? And are you going to be that rock that everything slams against? Rick and I were speaking. He was talking about the waves that pound the beach in Hawaii, just trying to pound. Here's this rock coming up out of nowhere, and the ocean is just hammering it, trying to get rid of it once again. And are we going to allow the things of this world to hammer against us to the point where we are no more? Or are we in Christ Jesus going to stand as the living stone that it can beat against all it wants? For He is our anchor. He is our sure foundation. We have built upon the rock, and the storms of life can come no matter how they wish nor how long they may. But the light in this lighthouse is not going out. Because I have a hope. I have a promise that this world can't give me. No president in that office in the White House is going to do for me what the King of Glory has promised. And what has He promised? Let's look at the Word one last time. Peter gives us this hope in such a beautiful picture. He says, after you have suffered for a little while, from verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. If God perfects, confirms, strengthens, and establishes you, is anything ever going to be able to stop you? You will be a bulwark unto eternity. Martin Luther knew what he was singing when he said, God was a mighty fortress, a bulwark never failing. His words ring true throughout eternity. We have seen it, we have understood it, because as we have lit the candles, as we have seen this thing coming, we know that Christ has already come. He has fulfilled prophecy once, He's going to fulfill it again, and when He comes this next time, He is going to be the one to confirm us. We will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. He is going to be the one to perfect us. There will be no more sin in any one of us. There will be no more jealousy, no more anger, no more hatred, no more competition, no more bad words, no more, no more, no more, no more. But there will be the strength of God to deal with the people who are here in a compassionate way. Because remember, we're going to be ruling and reigning over what for 1,000 years? People who are yet in the flesh, who are going to need compassion and understanding. We are truly going to become the church finally and once and for all. For 1,000 years, the church will rule the world. Why aren't we willing to become the church now? Why aren't we acting as a church? Why are we worried about elections? Why are we worried about COVID? Why are we worried about all these things that come at us when God has said, don't worry about them, get through them. And if you don't get through it and it takes you out, hey, you're in glory. You're in a better place anyhow. But I want my life. Get your foot out of both kingdoms. Remember, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to be singularly minded, be united to the church, Be united to Christ. That's what that means. I should have actually said, you know, will we be found in the unity of Christ instead of the church? But may the church be as Christ to the world. Amen. Because in the end, he is going to be the one who, from the last word there, will establish it. If God establishes something, is it going to be? God spoke, and everything we know came into existence. If God says he's going to establish you, how long is that going to last? To be established means never ending. Means to stand forever. How many of you are ready for forever? Well, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're already there. Let's start acting like it. And let us remember, we are the people of God. And all power and all glory and all dominion belong to him forever and ever. Amen. That's verse 11. That's the end of it. Amen. May you and I remember the hope we have, the living hope we have. Let us live in Christ. Let us live together in Christ, strengthening one another, holding fast to the reality and the hope that he brings us. It's Christmas time, folks. The world's falling apart. Are you and I going to change that? Nope. Because the world's literally going to fall apart. But what we can change is the number of people who fall into loss. So may we shine the light of Christ to bring them to salvation. And as it tells us in the book of Jude, to snatch them right from the flames. Because it's burning. Rome is burning right now before our eyes. Let's snatch them. Let's get our minds where they need to be. It's not about an election. It's not about a virus. It's about an eternity. And where are we going to be? And are we going to be kingdom-minded people in a lost and broken world? Let us be found in the unity of the church of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the word that you give us. We thank you for the encouragement in this time of our day. For Lord, there has been no other time like this since or probably ever yet to be, where people are seeing and understanding and knowing that, Lord God, you spoke these words years ago and we're seeing them happen even now. And Lord, may we as your children become truly ambassadors of Christ. Because Lord, though we are in this world, we are not of it. Bless us, Father, to strength. Bless us to the word that you have given us, that we may speak the truth in every situation. That it is no longer about this world, but it is about the next world, the world from which we now belong. For we have been brought into the kingdom of Christ, and may we bring others as well. Father, bless us, keep us, strengthen us, and help us to truly become, to be, to live as the church of Jesus Christ, in whose name we are found. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.